I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. Bruce Thatcher joins us. Gosh, I just so appreciate this, man. We have been seemingly joined at the hip for, I don't know, what's the last 8-10 years plus? And it's just been a lot of fun. I always enjoy this time with Bruce. I know our audience does as well, because he brings so much to the table. In terms of, you know, first of all, common sense and education and study of these major issues that we're dealing right now, especially with immigration. Of course, one of his books that he's written is a must read. And I've said more than once that I believe all our elected officials should more than cozy up. They should memorize the book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce is the founder of History Speaks Today. Hey, Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just fine in this finally, maybe raining, we hope, weather in Texas.
Yes.
We're looking for it. You know, I was thinking when this morning, a little bit ago, I was thinking that we've been witnessing an historic process just over the past few months as regards immigration and national security. The norm for the past couple of hundred years has been that the federal government deals with matters that it's deemed the states aren't able to handle. And we can literally ring off all kinds of laws that have been passed, and laws are passed every year with the rationale that it's too big for the states and municipalities to handle. But now with immigration, we're seeing the opposite take place. Immigration, which is defined as a federal responsibility, but the states and municipalities are having to move in because the government isn't doing their job. President Biden insists the border is secure. Kamala Harris says the border is secure. DHS Director Mayorkas says the border is secure, but you and I, and it has to be almost everybody, knows it isn't.
Yes.
More than 2 million illegal immigrants were encountered, and those weren't the gotaways, were encountered at the southern border this last fiscal year ending in September. Maybe as many as that many got away. So we've got 2 or 3 million coming through our borders. It's been, you've described it, others have described it as an invasion.
It is, right.
The federal government doesn't do anything about it, and there's very little the states can do about it, but one of the interesting and fun lights is the actions that have been taken, led by Texas Governor Abbott, have been taken to take that matter into their own hands by transporting the numbers, nearly now 13,000, 14,000, somewhere like that, of these illegal aliens, migrants, and transporting them into the backyards of the politicians that say, oh, you know, we don't care about the southern border, let them come.
Yeah, these so-called sanctuary cities, and that they send them to the sanctuary cities, and you know, here you got New York building some palatial tents, and you saw that, right? They finally got some, they've got some occupants in there, and the word's going out, hey, wow, this is first class, come one, come all. So, you know,
and they've rented thousands of hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah. And we're not talking cheap, and we're not talking cheap hotel rooms here. I mean, we're talking $400, $500 a night, dare I say, you know, type rooms.
Yeah, Carol and I are thinking about taking a little holiday before long, and I'm looking at hotel rates, and I'm saying, wow, I don't know. I don't know how many days we can spend doing what we'd like to be doing, but New York takes them over, and New York isn't the only one that has essentially commandeered the availability of hotels to as just one response.
Yes.
Put up, they're getting like a few hundred, a few thousand of these migrants, and Texas is getting a million.
Yes, exactly. And here they send 50 to Martha's Vineyard, and you know, everybody's in the fetal position, and they got to call in the National Guard to get them. And they say, okay, well, we'll let you stay over for breakfast, and then boom, man, you're out of here.
And that's what they did. They put them on the base and then shipped them out within days after their arrival. And it's just amazing that they look at these things, but even more amazing is that The states have gotten to the point, Texas and Arizona and Florida have gotten to the point where they say the federal government is not doing its job and we have to step in. We have to do it.
Well, look what happened during Obama's reign, right? That infamous photo of Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, you know, begging Barack Obama for help because there was another invasion. It seems like invasion of migrants is synonymous with the Democratic Party.
Evidently, and some people say, well, they bring them in, they want them to vote. I think that's true in the long run. I don't know how much of that is true in today's election or next week's election. Some will vote in that, but the Democrats have a long view. The progressives have a long view. You know, we're going to change this American society that has been so unique and so wonderful in the world. And we're going to turn it around into what we think it ought to be, and we'll spend 50-100 years doing that, just steadily marching toward it. And these migrants are just a small piece of that program.
Exactly. Well, meanwhile, the Democrats think that they can get away with this. Well, they didn't get away with it because, for Donald Trump in 2016, that was the linchpin. I mean, until he started talking about immigration and people go, oh, yeah, right. Look what's happening with the border. And we need to build a border wall like all other countries, because look what happened in Israel. Israel was getting, they were getting invaded and they said, well, we need a wall. They put up a wall, and look what happened to the invasion. I mean, within a year, Bruce, within a year, they stopped the incredible incoming of migrants coming into Israel. So this is all common sense, but our government doesn't. They're not familiar with that concept of common sense.
And that's an example. Never mind whether you agree with Israel's internal politics and even with Israel's country, it's building the wall is an example of what works.
Mm-hmm.
Just
the opposite, Bruce. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Look at in all these other European countries. What happened to Britain? What happened to Germany? What happened to England? The demography of those countries have noticeably radically changed since they opened up borders and said, okay, fine, come on in. We'll just all, kumbaya, we'll all get together. And Lord have mercy. These countries are not the same, right? So you've got empirical evidence of what happens when you have borders, you have no borders.
The EU established the Schengen approach to migration, which says we have no borders. If you get in anywhere, you can go everywhere within Europe without a passport or without having to get in. And they flocked. They flocked in. And they've become a big problem. Now, do we have any responsibility to help deal with the world's problems? Yeah, I really think we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it ought to be the way we want to do it, not imposed on us by literally an invasion of people that put it all into crisis mode.
To your point though, Bruce, real quick, because we only got about a minute left here, is that America traditionally, since its founding, has been more of an example of how to do things right. I'd say in the recent decades, you might even say the last 50 years or so, where we've abandoned our moral compass. But up until then, we were a positive example in many ways. For other countries. And this has been the problem, that still is a sticking point for these dictators and these oligarchs that want to have control. This is why they want to get America out of the picture, because we're problematic when it comes to, their order of things, right?
I think that's right. That's one of the factors.
Exactly. Got to go to break. We've got more from Bruce Thatcher. Stay with us. Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We're talking with Bruce Thatcher, the founder of History Speaks Today, immigration expert, author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils, Make It Work, and Adamant Aggressors. We were just talking off the air about the condition of the U.S. labor force today because, you know, the fact of the matter is there are consequences to the choices America has made, Bruce. You know, you can't annihilate a generation labor force through abortion. And now here we are, we find ourselves, we've got more jobs than people. And so some of the satisfaction, some of that justification for an open border is that, you know, we need people to come in and work for us. But, you know, this thing is so idiotic. Again, this is the government at work for you. Do you think that they would at least vet the people coming across to say, okay, well, let's figure out what you're good at and where we might be able to funnel you that and justify your existence and give you an opportunity? But they don't even stop to consider, and you know, we bring this up and people go, gosh, I didn't even think about that, is these migrants who are coming to the country, they all have to go through the cartel gateway, right? And if you're going to go through that gateway, guess what? You're beholden to the cartel. You're not going to get on the other side of the border without the cartel's permission. And the cartel's permission comes in many forms. It's indentured servitude. It's modern indentured servitude. You are beholden to the cartels.
And that's slavery.
Yes, exactly. I mean, amazing. Here we are trying to eradicate slavery, and again, the Democratic Party, because they know slavery, here they are. They are promoting slavery of a new kind in this modern era. And the cartel's going, thank you very much, Joe Biden. Last year, we made over $13 billion. What do you think that's going to do in terms of upping the militarization and the capability of the cartels? I mean, we already know the firepower they have right now. I mean, our own military would be hard-pressed to go into Mexico and wipe out the cartel.
Probably couldn't do it. The people coming across the border that they're bringing across become indebted. I mean, it costs what, $6,000-$8,000?
Yeah, at least
per person. And they've got to come up with that before, or that commitment before they can get across the border. If they don't come up with the amount of money, as I understand it, then as you say, they're going to have to come up with it after they get across.
Right.
And cough it up. And
by the way, they know where you live. They know where your parents are at, where your family's at.
Yep.
And they're going to go to your mom and dad, and they know that. The threat is already there. It's not veiled. It's direct. You will pay us. If not, we're going to make sure mom and dad back in whatever city that you come from, because our network has connections there, and they'll go knocking on their door. So
We are abetting that process as a country.
Exactly.
I think the politicians, because I cannot believe that a one of them doesn't know all this. They know this.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot not know this.
Yeah.
But they do, and they bring them in anyway because they say they're going to serve our purposes, and we're living in our nice walled-in, gated communities, many of us with our own bodyguards, that it doesn't bother us, no big deal.
Right.
And they have absolutely no sensitivity for the people who are living in these counties along the border who put up with 50 or 100 migrants traipsing across their land every year and every month, and and every once in a while they go out and they find, well, there's a dead body there because they died of starvation or thirst,
and they're finding more dead bodies than normal. The Border Patrol said maybe, you know, one a month or something. They're finding, you know, 10-15 they're daily discoveries of dead bodies.
That's right.
That are left in the train of this humanity, this human invasion that's coming forth, and America's just yawning. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, no big whoop here.
Bill, are yawning because it isn't put in their face.
Right.
The media doesn't show that stuff.
Right.
We see it in in a little bit in the papers down here, but I'll bet, and I'll bet it's not in the Minneapolis Star.
Oh, sure.
You know, in newspapers like that, and so they have no aware of it, and they get their news on the internet anyway, on social media, which is a studiously and carefully crafted news that will block that out for most.
Exactly. Well, the only time they're hearing anything about immigration when you start getting in some of these, you know, far off cities, as you mentioned, in Minneapolis and that, it might be because somebody gets murdered. And it's at the hands of an illegal immigrant. And it seems like it's, you know, maybe coincidental. It's only one incident. It's not massive enough. But eventually, this thing, you know, our crime is already out of control. And I believe what's contributing to it and what some of the analysts are starting to show us is that the increased number of illegal immigrants into our country are only exacerbating the problem. It is not reducing crime. Common sense would tell you that is not going to happen, especially when you have people coming in illegally to begin with. They break the law. So does that, you know, does that promote beyond that first incidence of breaking the law? How does that promote them keeping the law, you know, on the next occasion or in their next step or an experience here in America? They could care less because they know if they break the law and if it's, you know, if they murder somebody or whatever, they can go back home without consequence.
Yeah. And we'll just deport them.
Yes.
If we
that's
catch
it.
Them. I absolutely believe it's true that an overwhelming number of these illegal aliens are good people who do not break the law except for coming into the country. But if only 5% of them break the law, good heavens, we're talking 50, 80,000 people.
Exactly.
And it's a huge number.
And but Bruce, you know, but the deal is the problem that we got is what we talked about in just a moment ago, and that is they're beholden to the wrong people. Where's their allegiance? Is their allegiance to America and this, you know, great idea? I think, you know, it may start like, gosh, you know, who doesn't want the opportunity and the liberties that America, you know, potentially offers? I don't blame them. But when they come across and they've got to be beholden and they've got to swear, in a sense, they subordinate their allegiance to the cartels. And last time I checked, the cartels aren't a positive ally for this country.
No.
Right?
They are not.
So you may be right. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, agree, because most people in the Hispanic and the Latin culture are, you know, they're fair-minded people. They love their family. They love their religion. They are hard workers. They're great entrepreneurs. They've got the DNA of a labor force that, you know, many people and many businesses are envious of. But you want to be able to have that opportunity to know that, you know, they're committed, that they have an allegiance to this country and to the business that they're working for as much as any other American does. But not be sold out and not be compelled to do something dastardly or participate in something that, you know, that destroys the moral backbone of this country. That's the problem. We have disconnected from our moral authority. And what are we telling the rest of the countries? And we go and try and talk to them. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, the president of Mexico or even Venezuela, whatever, they laugh at Joe Biden, you know, when he sits there and tries to talk to them about some moral high ground. You know, he's a joke.
The example we set, absolutely, in my opinion, is a huge part of the problem we have. It's kind of a cyclical thing. Mm-hmm. But we do all these things. The rest of the world sees what we're doing much more than what any politician says.
Exactly.
And they make their judgments accordingly. Well, we are not enforcing immigration laws. We are not protecting our border. So if we're leaving it open, and we're leaving it open not only to cartels, not only to people who will put a burden on the social structure for a while at least, we're leaving it open to conscious aggressors from countries like China and Russia. in Iran, and they have been caught at the southern border. And if they've been caught, how many of them aren't caught? Because, as you pointed out earlier, they're generally smarter and more sophisticated. They tend not to be caught.
Exactly. And their involvement in illegal trafficking of humanity and drugs, these are high-level operatives. I mean, common sense would tell you that, right? Because everybody else, they're flooding the border and occupying Border Patrol so that they can't interfere with the flow of these gotaways. And I think, I mean, this whole estimate of, oh, we've got a 500,000, do we? Do we have 2 million? Do we have 3 million? How do you know that that's all we have is a 500,000 gotaways?
And they're carrying fentanyl.
Yeah.
They're bringing in all. It simply isn't a control. And we have, this is a country that has the money that will entice any nature of people from around the world, not just immigrants who are looking to better their lives, but they'll entice the cartel, they'll entice the dictators and so forth, everybody else who's trying to enrich their lives. And we're not doing anything about it.
As you say, we've got the money, but we've lost the will.
Yep.
That's what we need, Bruce Thatcher. You're exactly right. He's the founder of History Speaks Today, immigration expert and author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, and Adamant Aggressors as well. Bruce Thatcher, real quick, the website they can go to?
HistorySpeaksToday.com.